Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score, and we are getting down to it now. The fantasy regular season is almost over here. We got one more week before the playoffs, at least in most leagues. Some leagues are already in the playoffs, I know, but regardless, it is super important this time of year. You got to make the right decisions on your roster. You got to make the right decisions for your lineup over the next month, and unfortunately, we got a lot of injuries to discuss today, things that could shake up the landscape for fantasy and a bunch of important players who got hurt over the weekend and even going back to Thursday's game. So I did this back in week 7, I believe, but I'm going to split the injury recap segment and the waiver wire segment. I'm going to break it up into two separate shows this week. So today we're going to go over all the injuries and what they could mean for you. And then on Tuesday's show, I'll cover the top waiver wire pickups and I'll make sure to get that out early in the day tomorrow. So you'll have plenty of time to listen to that. And then you'll be able to put your waiver wire claims in. Let's begin with these injuries though. And you could start with running backs. You could start with receivers because we've had some notable names go down at each spot this week, but let's start with the receivers first. And maybe the biggest gut punch a Sunday, and that's Tank Dell fracturing his fibula. And it happened on an inside touchdown run right at the goal line. Damien Pierce ended up scoring and Dell looked like he was pushing to get him in. And that was that. Smaller receiver in with all those big bodies. Doesn't seem like the best way to use him, but what can you do? He ends up getting carted off. Both teams were out in the field around him, which is normally a sign that it's pretty serious. And then a little while later, we found out that it was going to be a season-ending injury. So we're wishing him the best, you know, just an outstanding rookie season. And sadly, you know, it's cut short now. But we look ahead to, you know, Nico Collins. And Collins was kind of the 1-1A or 1A-1B, however you like to say it. You know, Collins and Dell, they were emerging as this dynamic duo together in Houston. And with Dell leaving, Collins ends up having a career day here, 9 catches, 191 yards, and a touchdown, his second straight 100-yard game, his fourth 100-yard game this season, and he's a fantasy wide receiver one the rest of the way. That connection with CJ Stroud, it is undeniable at this point, and he has a couple bad matchups on his schedule remaining. He's got the Jets in week 14. He's got the Browns in week 16. But in the fantasy playoffs, he opens up with the Titans in week 15 and he closes with the Titans in week 17. So he should just have monster stat lines in those outings. And he's basically matchup proof. I'm not suggesting by any means that you're going to sit him in those bad matchups. You're going to have him in your lineup every single week moving forward. The Texans, they also got back Noah Brown in this game, which is good news. You would think they finally got that receiving core together, but of course Dell gets hurt. But Brown, he played 81% of the snaps. He finished without a catch. He did get 2 targets, and I expect now we're going to see better days coming from him as he gets healthier. And obviously with Dell sidelined for the remainder of the season, that's going to give Brown a way bigger opportunity. So he becomes an intriguing wide receiver 3 for fantasy. And the number 3 receiver spot, it's going to turn into probably a rotation here between Robert Woods and John Mechie. We could see them pop for usable fantasy weeks here and there, but I doubt they're going to be consistent enough to be regulars in your lineup, you know, unless we get another injury in Houston. And of course, we don't want to see that happen. I will also have to watch Dalton Schultz's status, the Texans tight end, because he performed really well in games where one of these top receivers in the offense was missing, but he's out with a hamstring issue. He missed this week. His backup, Brevin Jordan, he stepped in, 3 catches, 64 yards in this one. So Jordan firmly on the streamer list if Schultz can't go in week 14. And I will also note while we're on the Texans offense, the backfield kind of reverted to more of a committee approach again, kind of what we were seeing earlier in the season with Damien Pierce leading in carries and then Singletary getting some carries, but then playing more of a pass catching role. Not ideal for fantasy, and it moves Singletary back to your bench. Both guys are just really flex options until we see something change. Back to the injuries though here. So Christian Watson, so he hurt his hamstring again, and this one was rough, non-contact. He was trying to stay in bounds in the fourth quarter. They wanted to run some clock and he just went down awkwardly, and right away it was clear that he wasn't going to come back from that. And I don't know the exact diagnosis yet, but it is a hamstring issue, and he missed time with a hamstring issue earlier in the season, so we don't know how severe it's going to be, but I would expect that he is going to be out for at least a couple weeks, and that puts his availability for the fantasy playoffs in question, because he just got back to performing well, right? He was hurt earlier in the season, started to question, is he going to be the same guy that we saw at times last year, and then the last few weeks he was coming on, so really too bad here. We'll have to revisit it in a couple weeks, but I would have a hard time trusting him in my lineup. You know, if he returns for week 16, week 17, Are you really just going to put him out there, not sure about his health and all that sort of stuff? So I'm very worried that he's a guy that you might not be using the rest of the year. And that means Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, their wide receiver three flexes, especially with Jordan Love playing pretty well now. And they got a nice win over the Chiefs on Sunday night, which just kind of makes it even worse that they have this dark cloud of the Watson injury over top of everything. Dontavian Wicks, he's pretty intriguing now as a deep stash or even a potential flex play. He's gone over 40 yards in each of his last four games. That's not counting week 12. He sat out due to injury in week 12. But the last four that he was on the field for, he went over 40 yards in all of them. And he's been producing in the number four role. You have to think that he's going to be a factor as the new number three wideout in Green Bay. And then Tucker Kraft, he gets a slight boost at tight end. Luke Musgrave, he's probably not going to come back this year. That's at least what they've been suggesting in Green Bay. So Kraft is somebody that you could look to if you're still dealing with bye weeks. And we have two teams left on bye in week 14, the Cardinals and the Commanders. Or if you've been hit hard by injuries at tight end, which we know many people have this season, Kraft certainly in the streamer discussion there. Next up, so we're just scratching the surface on all these injuries. We're only beginning here. Amari Cooper, he got sandwiched between two defenders. He was ruled out with a concussion. That puts him in danger of missing week 14. And I know we just saw Chris Olave. He cleared concussion protocol in a week. Earlier in the season, though, most guys weren't getting cleared 1 week later, but Olave, Alexander Mattison, we've seen a few do it in the last month, so not impossible for Cooper to play this week, but definitely in danger of him sitting out that game. And that gives Elijah Moore a bump in value. He has the history with Joe Flacco going back to their time together with the Jets. That might have helped him this week, because with Cooper leaving, Moore finished with 12 targets. Now, he only caught four of them, but it was for 83 yards, so nice little fantasy day there. He would be the favorite to lead the way if Cooper were out again, and of course, if Flacco remains under center, which I expect is going to be the case. You know, Flacco, he wasn't perfect by any means, but he was a competent veteran quarterback, and I think he's going to be the Browns' best option at QB moving forward. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's still in concussion protocol to begin this week. Kevin Stefanski didn't want to name a starter on Monday, but I'd expect that Flacco is going to be out there again. And the Jaguars, they're vulnerable through the air, so Moore would be an interesting wide receiver three play, a guy with some upside too. Flacco, a QB2 streamer option. And then I would expect that we'll see the tight ends continue to be involved. David Njoku had a bit of a quiet day on Sunday, but Harrison Bryant, 5 for 49 and a touchdown. Njoku, still a low-end tight end one moving forward, and Bryant isn't somebody that we're chasing, just a deep stash in tight end premium formats. And then Cedric Tillman, the rookie, he could be interesting as a deep flex option if Cooper's out. He's really been taking on a bigger role as of late, even before the Cooper injury, so we might see him pop up given the matchup and given Cooper's situation. Puka Nacua, so he had a 100-yard game here, but he also left with a rib injury at one point. Fortunately, he was able to return to the game. He looked all right in the process, so he might miss some practice time this week. He might be limited in practice, but I'd be surprised if he's not out there in week 14. We will know more over the next couple days, though, because there would be signs if the injury got worse after the game or something like that. I don't think we're going to be surprised by this one, but, you know, watch just in case he doesn't get a chance to practice at all. That would be a sign for sure that maybe there's something more going on there. Marquise Brown, he's been playing through a heel injury, but must have aggravated it in this game because he left with it and he didn't return. Now, like I mentioned, the Cardinals are on bye in week 14, so he's going to have 2 weeks to rest up. Hopefully that does the trick and gets him back out there. But if you have a deep bench, you want to stash Greg Dorch just in case. And then if it's really, really deep, you could look to Michael Wilson, who hopefully he'll be back after the bye. He's been out with an injury, or even Rondale Moore. But that's the order that I would have them in: Dorch, Wilson, and then Moore. And they're just bye week stashes this week. They're not guys you're going to be able to play. I want to make that clear. But you're going to look ahead to the fantasy playoffs, as they could be potentially guys you could sneak into your lineup if Marquise Brown isn't good to go in week 15. Moving on to running backs, Ramondre Stevenson. So the hip drop tackle, it strikes again here. Stevenson suffered an ankle injury, and it must have really hurt too, because he fumbled the ball when it happened, and he limped off the field with the help of trainers, didn't return to the game. X-rays were negative, but an MRI is coming today, and so far, the team isn't sure how long he's going to miss. That's the only update that I've seen. If this is a high ankle sprain, which we've watched plenty of backs deal with this year, we could be talking about a multi-week absence, and that's right at the most important time of the fantasy season too, and right when Stevenson was getting back to being an RB1 in fantasy. It's just terrible all around, so hopefully he avoids anything serious. Hopefully he doesn't have a long rehab ahead of him, but I wouldn't plan on having him for the next couple weeks at least. And if it is a high ankle, his effectiveness could be an issue when he comes back. You just watch like Austin Eckler, him playing right now. He's not the same guy that he was before that high ankle sprain back in week one. And he missed several weeks before he came back after that injury. So we should have a more concrete timeline soon. I would expect that Stevenson's going to be on your bench or in your IR slot, at least for a bit here. And that makes Ezekiel Elliott a top pickup this week. Who would have thought that we'd be saying that? I've been mentioning Zeke with the high upside backs in the waiver wire column and on the waiver wire show recently. And he's actually been playing pretty well on that limited usage that he's been getting, but he finished with 92 scrimmage yards here, 21 touches in this game, and that's thanks to Stevenson leaving, of course. And I know you don't really want to trust a Patriots player in your fantasy lineup, but Elliott's going to be a top 20 fantasy back if Stevenson's out. That's just the reality. He's going to be a volume play. And then you look to Jamichael Hasty. He's going to become the new number two back in New England, at least for the time being. Just such a strange year. You know, it's like we're just trying to survive all these injuries. That's such a huge part of fantasy. Derrick Henry, he apparently survived a concussion scare. So he got hit by a couple defenders simultaneously. That led to a concussion check, kept him out of the rest of Sunday's game. And everyone started speculating, including myself. I started to figure that, okay, Tajay Spears might get an opportunity to start. But according to Mike Vrabel today, Henry not in concussion protocol. So Spears still someone that you should be adding, but it looks like Henry avoided a concussion and he should be fine to suit up in week 14. DeAndre Swift. So this is one of those ones. Just make a mental note of this. I don't think it's going to cost Swift time. He was able to walk off on his own, but he took a shot late in that 49ers game and he had to leave after. Kenneth Gainwell, he's another one of these upside backups that you should be stashing, and he gets a bit of a boost in terms of waiver wire value just in case Swift is banged up and can't go in week 14. And this is another big one for the Eagles this week. After the loss to the Niners, they have to rebound and go up against the division rival Cowboys, and they might get Dallas Goedert back this week. I should mention that he returned to practice late last week. He wasn't able to play in that game, but I think they were targeting this one against the Cowboys, so hopefully we'll see him back for this game. Not done with the running back injuries. So Brian Robinson on the Commanders, he left with a hamstring issue and eventually got ruled out. Soft tissue problems for skill position players. Don't like the sound of that, but Washington, they're on bye this week, so he's going to get a couple weeks to try to heal up, and hopefully that's enough. I would be stashing Antonio Gibson just in case. Gibson, he's rostered in over 50% of leagues, so I won't be writing him up in the column, but if he's out there, you got to get him on your bench because there's a real chance that Robinson might not be available for week 15 when they come back from that bye. And the rookie Chris Rodriguez, he's a stash as well, but only in deeper leagues there. Zach Charbonnet, so this one might not be top of mind because it happened back on Thursday, but Charbonnet got hurt in that game. He had to leave. Pete Carroll called it a bruised knee. Didn't really offer much more than that, so we're going to be looking for updates. Kenneth Walker did not seem close to returning for that one from his injury, so not sure Walker's going to be ready to go in week 14, and that makes DJ Dallas a pickup. He could get the start if those two top guys can't go, and to a lesser extent, you could look to Kenny McIntosh. He could be added in really deep leagues too, but DJ Dallas, he would be the play if Charbonnet joins Walker on the sidelines, and the schedule just continues to be so tough for that Seahawks run game. I mean, the 49ers this week, the Eagles the week after, so got to keep your expectations in check for those backups if they do get the start. Zach Moss, so he walked off with trainers at one point. Trey Sermon jumped into the game, but Moss came right back in, so not really worried there. And Amari Demarcado, the Cardinals backup running back, he suffered a neck injury early in that one and had to call it a day, and that vaulted Michael Carter into the number two role behind James Conner. So Carter, he is the guy to stash if you're banking on a Conner injury down the stretch. We don't root for injuries here, but just want to make sure you know who the next man up is in case they happen. Over to quarterbacks now. So Kenny Pickett, he got just smashed on a red zone run, got hit really hard at the goal line, suffered an ankle injury, couldn't put any weight on it. And we got word today that he's having surgery, so he's likely going to be sidelined for several weeks. Mike Tomlin suggested that it's not a season ending situation, but for fantasy, it might be. And probably you weren't using Pickett anyway as anything more than at least a streamer. We talked about him as a potential streamer last week in that matchup. It was a nice one against the Cardinals. Didn't really turn out that way. And of course, he got hurt. But with him out, this whole offense gets downgraded. And you saw that in that game on Sunday. Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, They become more wide receiver three flex plays and kind of risky ones at that. Pat Freiermuth, he doesn't have the same kind of ceiling that he showed a couple weeks ago. He's more of just a streamer. And the run game is likely going to be less effective with the defenses just keying in on all the running backs and what they're doing close to the line of scrimmage. So it's bad news all around if you're invested in that Steelers offense for fantasy. Derek Carr, he was carted off after a big hit. The defender actually got flagged for roughing the passer on that one. And he was listed with everything: concussion, shoulder, back. He had it all. Today, we've got an update from Dennis Allen, his head coach. He confirmed that Carr is in the concussion protocol. They're monitoring the back. He said the shoulders seem to be fine. And he also confirmed what we know, and that's if Carr can't play, Jameis Winston is going to get the start. And I don't love the matchup in week 14 against the Panthers, but Jameis, I mean, he's going to go YOLO ball no matter what, no matter who's on the other side of the field. And if he's starting in week 15 versus the Giants, that's a couple weeks from now. But if he's out there for that one in the starting role, that's a little more interesting in potentially using him as a streamer. As far as the receiving options go, I think fantasy managers would rather see Jameis just taking chances downfield, throwing it up to guys like Olave and maybe to Rashid Shaheed if he can get back for this one. If not, then A.T. Perry steps into that number two role again. Regardless, this is the rare situation where we're not really downgrading receivers, even if the backup quarterback's in there, which, I mean, it's kind of telling of what we think about Derek Carr and how he's played this year. Some other quick ones at quarterback: Jalen Hurts, he left. He got checked for a concussion. He was cleared. He came right back into the game. And I always mention those when I see them just because symptoms might pop up a day or two later. So fingers crossed that Hurts is going to be okay and fine. And based on everything we know right now, we think he's going to be okay moving forward. CJ Stroud, he also visited the medical tent briefly during this game. Not sure what the issue was with him specifically, but he was right back out there as quick as can be, so no concerns on my end for him. And then this one wasn't an injury this week, but we got word on Monday that the Giants are activating Tyrod Taylor's 21-day window to come back from IR. So I wondered if they would even bother doing that. Apparently they are, and that makes Tyrod a potential 2QB or super flex streamer if he does get cleared to come back. And it gives you some hope that guys like Saquon Barkley or Jalen Hyatt, some of these giant skill position guys, maybe they can finish the season strong if someone like Tyrod is out there. But this is all assuming that he does come back and they do start him. If he doesn't, Tommy DeVito would continue to hold down that job. But I think Tyrod inching towards returning, that could also increase the odds of somebody like Darren Waller potentially coming back as well. So Waller is definitely worth stashing if you have an IR spot for him. And that brings us to the rest of the tight ends here. And a couple tight ends we have to go over. Nothing really huge at this position, but Tyler Higbee on the Rams, he got evaluated for concussion. Haven't seen an update there yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's not cleared for week 14. And that's assuming he's officially in the protocol, because a guy like Derrick Henry, we kind of assumed that he was in the protocol when he didn't come back to that game. But then we got word today that he wasn't. So Higbee could be in a similar situation, but I'm not going after his backups if he is out. It would just be far too risky of a fantasy play there. And then way down the rankings, CJ Uzomah, he suffered an MCL sprain and he was down. He was clutching his knee in that first quarter. You hate to see that. And the Jets likely aren't going to have Uzomah for a while here, but it doesn't change much for fantasy though. Ty Conklin, he's been a deeper streamer. Jeremy Ruckert, he's a stash in tight end premium formats. I think he was always drafted to be the Uzomah replacement, and he's been getting a chance to do it this year, even before this Uzomah injury. So maybe opens up a few more snaps for him. But that is all for today's show. So make sure you check out the week 14 waiver wire column. That's going to be up on the Score on Monday night. And then Tuesday, I'll be back. We will go over all the top ads from that column. I'll give you some insight on how I'm approaching the waiver wire this week and heading into the fantasy playoffs. And we might have a few more updates on some of these injuries as well by then. So I will come back. We'll do that episode. Then Wednesday, I will have a guest with me. But until then, a big thanks for downloading, for subscribing to the show. I saw some of the Spotify Wrap numbers for the show. Just wild. And it fires me up to see our audience growing like this. So big thanks for supporting us. Big thanks for listening to each show. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.